Did you know that the perfect snack exists that not only has the yum factor, because that's important, but also packs a real protein punch? I'm talking about Wonderful Pistachios, a complete protein providing all 9 essential amino acids. Wonderful Pistachios is one of the highest protein nuts. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Now that's a snack you can feel really good about. It's hard for me to currently pick a fave because they have several flavors to choose from, including no salt and jalapeno lime options. But if I absolutely had to, I'd say I'm in my no shells, Wonderful Pistachios, sea salt and vinegar era. It's the ultimate snacking solution for when you need a quick, convenient, and tasty boost of pistachio goodness straight out of the bag. Whether you enjoy the ritual of cracking open each nut or you lean towards the ease of no shells, Wonderful Pistachios has something for everyone. It's time to elevate your snacking game with Wonderful Pistachios. Visit wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more.
Hey, 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 welcome back to the Brown Girl Self-Care Podcast. My name is Bree and I'm the host of the show. I want to thank you so much for tuning in and listening to the show this week. You guys are such an amazing part of the community. And if I haven't said it lately, I just wanted to let you know that I greatly appreciate you being a part of the BGSC family. So before we get into today's episode, I do want to shout out that this episode is brought to you by my business, waxandlather.com, where I'm getting some candle and home scented goodness prepared for you. For those of you that have had a chance to order your candles and have received them, I want to thank you so much for your support. And if you haven't had a chance to check out the affirmation candles over at waxandlather.com, why not, sis? Why haven't you had a chance to go check them out? So waxandlather.com, affirmation candles. Some other stuff is coming soon, but that's what I decided to launch with. So that's what you will find there for now. And the candles are awesome. So thank you so much for your support on that. Now let's go ahead and get into today's episode. And man, what I'm going to be talking about today is so, it was just like a balm for my spirit. Balm for my spirit. It soothed my spirit because there is so much negativity online, in real life, everywhere. There's just so much negativity that sometimes it's just like you want to just stay in bed, keep your head under the covers, keep your head under the blankets, not come up for anything other than like food, you know, whatever. So to be able to see what I saw this week was awesome. And what I'm talking about is the documentary, She Did That. She Did That. And that you can find on Netflix. So you can check it out on Netflix. I had the opportunity to watch it a few days ago. And man, when I tell you that I had my notebook ready to go because I knew, like, Netflix is coming for our throats. Like, they're not even playing with some of the stuff that they are releasing or what they have released. Now, everything hasn't been, you know, amazing, but a lot of the content that they are releasing has been amazing. Like right now, I'm in the middle of what was that documentary? Like The Godfather. And I can't remember his name now because it's been a few days since I've started watching it and I had to pause it because, you know, life. But yeah, Netflix has some amazing for the culture, like documentaries and shows right now. So if you have Netflix and you have been sleeping on it, you might want to check that out. But yeah, so back to the documentary that I watched again called She Did That. And I have about 5-6 pages of notes in front of me, and it's scribble scrabble because I was trying to write fast and watch and pause and rewind and do all that. So I just had some takeaways, and I just wanted to share my thoughts on you know, the documentary and everything, because I just felt that it was important to highlight and discuss and share, you know, about this documentary because it was amazing. It is amazing. So again, she did that in the documentary. It's basically a documentary about Black woman entrepreneurs. Like, these women are like, they're go-getters and they're smart and they're beautiful. Like, I was just captivated. Like, anytime I have the opportunity to hear a Black woman speak and share her story and just share some of her essence, I don't know. It just, and she's smart and she's beautiful and she's just on fire and she's just, you know, she's just doing the damn thing. It just makes me feel honestly really inspired. And it makes me understand or feel like I'm not alone. Because I know that sometimes we feel like that. And we know rationally that we're not alone. But when you're in the creative space, or as a Black woman, you're out here just trying to do your very best in whatever that looks like for you. Sometimes you feel alone. You feel lonely, especially if you don't have like community and things like that. So to get firsthand experience, or to be able to just watch these amazing women as they shared their stories and told us more about their backgrounds and their history and how they were raised and the things that they struggled against and how they were able to just rise like the phoenix from the ashes, you know, it's just dope. I just like it. It's just dope. So some of the people on the show, and again, bear with me because some of these notes are a little chicken scratchish, but there was Melissa Butler and Lovey and Tanya Rapley and Lisa Price. I'm trying to think of who else was on there. Renee. And there was just a lot of Black girl magic kind of sprinkled throughout this whole thing. Nadia Lopez, the ladies from the Krabby Shack, Lit Brooklyn, they're a candle company, Radical Women. There is just a lot of Black magic in this documentary. And you got to, like I said, just kind of have a peek. They pull back the curtain of just like their thought processes and what they were doing and how they got there and what their struggles were and how they were able to just keep going and never give up. So here are some takeaways that I had from this documentary. Again, I'm talking about the documentary She Did That, and you can find it on Netflix. Right off the bat, they were coming for you. Like, they were just snatching edges just right off the bat. They were talking about how Black women are creators of dope stuff that ultimately gets taken or stolen. We're not credited for it. You know, we create things and we're ignored or we're mocked. And then a month later, or a couple of days later, or a few years later, you look up and it's mainstream. And it's like, how, Sway? Like, how? Where did that happen? But this is not anything new to us. Two examples that immediately came to mind were, I hope I'm saying her name properly, is it Jalea Harmon? Now, trust me, I have never in my life tried to do this renegade dance. I don't even know the song. I just know that for the last month or two, or however long, few months, anytime I hop up on social media, and my daughter, she's like into TikTok and whatever else. And so I'm hearing this song, you know, the Renegade song. I couldn't tell you who sings it. I don't know where it comes from. I'm not hip, okay, in that regard. So I don't know, but I've heard that Renegade song over and over and over and over. And I see these people doing this dance. And I honestly didn't think anything of it because I'm not really into that. But come to find out, this dance, unsurprisingly, I'm not even shocked. 14-year-old girl invented this dance, made it up. And it went viral, and that's where it came from. Everybody named Mama was doing it, but she didn't get the credit. Like, we never, do you know how hard it is for a Black woman to get credit for something that she's invented or thought of or produced with her blood, sweat, and tears. It's hard. So unsurprisingly, you know, Jalea, I hope I'm saying her name right, like I said, made up this dance or this routine, and it was snatched, never credited, never shared, like, oh, I got this from dot, dot, dot. You know what I mean? And a lot of these famous TikTokers and YouTubers or Instagrammers or whatever, white, you know, primarily, were gaining views and everything else based off of her labor, her intellectual labor. And I was so glad to hear that finally she was getting her credit, which is important. So I've seen her, she's made some public appearances, but long story short, she's getting the credit that she deserves. And then the other thing that comes to mind was Henrietta Lacks, you know, the black woman that, I'm sure you heard the story. She had cancer and unfortunately she passed away, but they had stolen the woman's sales, the Hela, H-E-L-A, I guess, for Henrietta Lacks. They had stole her damn sales. And they've made millions, if not billions of dollars off of her. They were basically using her sales for research of like diseases, cancer, AIDS, for like vaccines and stuff like that. But they had stolen the woman's sales. Again, we black women, if you don't know nothing else about yourself on this day, I'm here to tell you that you are so amazing. And like I said, we are the creators of stuff. I mean, I don't need to go into it. You know what we do. You know how we roll. You know what we're creating and what we're capable of. And everywhere you look, we're mocked and ridiculed. And then next thing you know, it's popular. It's mainstream without any regard, any credit to our struggle, any credit to, you know, where it came from, how it originated. This is not anything new. This country was founded on just taking, stealing, you know? So this is nothing new, but that's how the documentary started. And I was just like, yes, 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 and more yes. They also said that we control about 1.3 million businesses, and we are the fastest group of growing entrepreneurs. Did you hear me? Black women are the fastest group of growing entrepreneurs. We are taking over. We are creating jobs, which is so important. We are able to lend a hand, help somebody else rise while we're rising. I cannot wait until Wax and Lather, this is a plug, waxandlather.com, get your candle today. I cannot wait until Wax and Lather blows the hell up and I can have employees that I'm employing. I just cannot wait for that. I want to be able to reach down and be like, come on, let's go. Everybody in this group, let's go. We, you know, moving on up like George and Wheezy. That is like the freaking dream. That is what I want for all of us. Like, just to move on up and not be, you know, at a level where we feel like we cannot continue to rise. Like, where we feel like we're just stuck. We don't have resources or feel like we're alone or we don't have enough money to live, to eat, to thrive, to see our children be and have the best, to leave a legacy for them, to die and be able to leave money for them. You know what I mean? I just want to see that. So I'm just excited that we are just out here creating businesses and side hustles and we're just doing things and we're growing and we're growing. We're the largest, fastest group of growing entrepreneurs, or we're the fastest group of growing entrepreneurs. And I think that's dope. Something else that I liked about this, this documentary was the fact that they went beyond the Oprahs and the Beyoncés and don't get me wrong, Oprah and Beyoncé, great. Obviously, people that we can like be like, damn, she did that. You know what I'm saying? Or she's doing that. But we've heard their stories And I was glad that this documentary moved past who we immediately think of, you know what I mean? And went for like, quote unquote, regular, I guess, if you will, or everyday Black women that are out there just doing these amazing, amazing things. So for example, they talked about Maggie Lena Walker, who was born to a slave parents, and she was the first Black woman to charter a bank. And this bank had over 50,000 members when it was at its peak. Over 50,000 members. I think she was like in her 20s when she did that, if I'm not mistaken. So that's freaking amazing. And then they talked about Clara Brown. This woman was phenomenal. She was a community leader. She was a freaking entrepreneur. She was born a slave. She owned like successful laundromats. She owned successful laundromats, and she was able to like acquire housing and properties. When I did my research, I understood that she was able to acquire like these mining properties and other things like that. And the value was like $10,000 or somewhere around $10,000 for all the stuff that she was able to acquire. That's like $1 million today. Okay. And we're talking about someone that was born a slave and ended up like owning successful laundromats. And on top of that, I was like super impressed because she started doing this stuff like in her 50s. So again, if you are, you know, in your 30s, your 40s, your 50s, your 60s, and you have this desire, this passion to go for something that you've always wanted to do, it is never too late. It's too late when you are dead. That's probably the only time it's going to be too late. You're dead. And then it's just obviously game over. But until that time, you better go out there and get what you came for. So then after that, they like talked about, like they took some time to speak to like, there was like, four or five like primary, I guess, women like Lovey and Lisa Price and Melissa Butler from the Lip Bar and Tanya from MyFab Finance and Renee, she has a blog in her shoes, but while they were talking to those main women, there was like these other amazing Black women in their stories kind of woven or weaved. Not sure which word I should be using here, but they were like woven into like the storyline that they were telling. So they had like the primary stories, but then they had like other interviews of other amazing Black women that were kind of talking about their struggles and just doing business as a Black woman and things like that. Now, I remember Melissa, and I had forgotten that I had watched. Now, who's you, Melissa from the Lip Bar? She's in Target, you know, and she has all those amazing like lipstick colors. And I remember, and this was like a few years ago, that she was on Shark Tank. Do you guys remember that? Like, I had completely forgotten about Melissa's story. excuse me, but they talked about it in the documentary, and she was on the Shark Tank or on Shark Tank, and they like trashed her. Like, they had even like called her like a cockroach, like, you know, just go back to being the cockroaches that you are or something like that. I can't remember the exact quote, but I remember I was just like, I felt gutted. That was just like one of the most disrespectful episodes of Shark Tank. And they can get pretty raw. And I don't have a problem with them getting raw and real, but I do have a problem when they're doing it in a way to be hurtful and they're demeaning and the way that they did it to her. There's one thing about just being a savvy business person. And then there's another thing where you are ridiculing and mocking and demeaning. Like, that's completely different for me. So I was so excited that she was on there because they tried to
I know you love this podcast, but if you've been on the hunt for other unapologetically Black podcasts to listen to, I want to invite you to give Black Stories, Black Truths from NPR a listen. They featured an episode of It's Been a Minute, and it was with Tracy Ellis Ross, and it was like a breath of fresh air for me. She touched upon her work, which of course includes Girlfriends, and we know the legacy of that show and also how that dynamic specifically between Joan and Tony still has a huge impact on Black culture, but it gave me room to reflect not only about the ways I am in community with Black women, but also how I am being in relationship with myself. NPR's episodes, they just hit differently. So NPR has a new collection of podcast episodes that celebrate the Black experience, from the It's Been a Minute episode with Tracy Ellis Ross to the Code Switch episode on the women behind the Montgomery bus boycott. These episodes are rooted in our richness and our history that we will not allow to be erased or marginalized. Listen now to Black Stories, Black Truths from NPR, wherever you get podcasts. There is no shame in needing to rebuild. So I'm in a season of taking back my financial power, and that looks like getting my credit together because having credit is powerful. I'll be making a move next year to another state, and I'm doing what I know to do now so that my credit won't prevent me from being able to rent another home. If you're in a similar situation, one tool I want you to know about is Kickoff, the credit builder that requires no credit check, and it's super simple to get started with today. Kickoff is a credit line that is just for credit building, not everyday spending, and there are zero catches. You make on-time payments, the credit bureau will see your good behavior, and your credit grows. Sign up in minutes from your phone and start building credit right away. Join over a million people building credit with a Kickoff credit account today. Get your first month for a dollar at getkickoff.com/selfcare today. That's Kickoff without the C. GetKIKOFF.com/selfcare. Special offer applies to new Kickoff premium customers for their first month only. Subject to approval and only available on getkickoff.com/selfcare. Terms of offer are subject to change. Hair care is not one size fits all. At the beginning of my natural journey back in the 2000s, I remember feeling so frustrated because at the time, there weren't many brands even acknowledging type 4 hair. So you had to search high and low for products that even worked. Having a great hair day is possible thanks to Way. My hair is dense with fine strands and it's super kinky, coily, and dry. Found out that part of the dryness was because my conditioner had to fight its way through buildup and hard water. If this sounds like you, you have got to add Way's Detox Shampoo to your rotation. It brought my hair back to life, and now it's forever a must-have. Another must-have for me is Way's Hair Oil. So once my wash and go is dry, I love to fluff and scrunch with Way's Hair Oil, and it makes it feel softer and healthier. You want more volume? Way has a shampoo and conditioner for that. More moisture? They got a shampoo and conditioner for that too. Spend less time guessing and more time rocking a great hair day with Way Hair Care. Wash your way to healthier hair with shampoos and conditioners made just for you. Go to theouai.com and use code SELFCARE for 15% off your entire purchase. That's theouai.com, code SELFCARE.
Humiliate her. Or humiliate these beautiful Black women. It was her and her partner, or her creative director or something like that. But God used that to their favor. And obviously now the lip bar is huge. The lip bar is huge. And so the Shark Tank tried to do one thing, but they ended up helping her to elevate. So I was glad that that completely turned around. And yeah. I think that was all the notes that I had for Melissa. And Melissa, her dad was in jail and her mom did it all. So I thought that was really insightful that she was still able to do that, being raised in a single parent home. So I was glad that they highlighted her story. Someone else on there, it was Tanya from MyFab Finance. And what I loved about her story was she had an awesome sense of family, or she had a strong sense of family. And she was saying how she was the only, like, you know, like the only one. I've talked about that. You know what I'm talking about when you're like the only Black girl, like in your class or whatever. And her mom would tell her to never allow someone to make you feel inferior. And and her mom just helped prepare her for like womanhood and her and just an ex- experience as a Black woman, and she just grew up to be like super confident. And what was also another good takeaway was the fact that Tanya, from what I understand or what she shared, she was talking about her ex. Her ex, I don't know if it was her, I think it was her ex-boyfriend. And she just got really real with it. And she was just like, she addressed her ex as her abuser. And that was so real for me because she didn't like attempt to sugarcoat it or excuse it. She was just straight up. She was like, you know, my abuser did X, Y, Z. And I felt like when she said that, she was like honoring herself by calling him exactly what he was. He was manipulative and he was an abusive person. And also what I liked was, so I guess I'm trying to remember the story. She ended up in Miami and I'm sorry, I'm just giving away all these spoilers. I still want you guys to watch it though, so please watch it. But I think she said she was in her early 20s, and I forget where she originated from, but I think she said she ended up in Miami and she was trying to, you know, live a certain lifestyle. So she was like using her credit cards to buy, I'm assuming, clothes and or maybe eating out, you know, just using up her credit cards. As you know, when we're young in our 20s, we do stuff. You know, we do stuff. So she was just trying to live a certain lifestyle. And I think she said that he was like stealing from her and using her credit cards to do things and stuff like that. And I think she said that I can't remember if she said that he had like physically abused her. That I can't recall, but when you watch it, you'll see. But she ended up calling her mom. And this was like so like major for me. This was a huge takeaway. She called her mom and was like, I want to come back home or whatever. And her mom was like, okay. You know, it wasn't like her mom was like, well, you know, you made a mistake. And I told you that you shouldn't have went out there in the first place. And, you know, you trying to be grown and blah, 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 blah. And, you know, I mean, maybe she did. And maybe Tanya didn't share that part of the story. But I don't get the impression that that was the conversation that was had. You know, it was like her mom was just like, yeah, you know what I'm saying? Her mom like helped her out of that situation. And when you have a supportive parent like that, that doesn't like take your mistake and just like throw it back in your face, I think that is like crucial to our well-being. And Tanya was able to take her experience with her abuser and elevate herself, because that's when she started like blogging and talking about how she was getting out of debt and all that. So he stole from her in her relationship, but and he killed her finances, but that all led to Fab Finance. So I thought that was amazing. I'm trying to remember who else's story really stood out to me. I mean, they all honestly stood out to me. I know Lisa from Carol's Daughter, she talked about how everybody was just like on her about selling, what is it? Carol's Daughter. So she talked about that and her experience as an entrepreneur. Lovey was talking about just her background. I think she was from Nigeria. And just like this culture shock, because she came from one type of environment. She came to, I forget what state they moved to, but she was just like, what the hell? It was just like, it was like a culture shock. Like, because she was used to living one way. And then next thing you know, they moved and she was just like, what the hell? So, yeah, there was just like all these wonderful stories like woven throughout in the doc. And I just really, 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 I just felt so excited to be able to watch. I'm trying to think of what else they were saying. There was one part where they were talking about how we're financing our own dreams out of necessity, because banks ain't trying to give us a hand up and help us fund our dreams and help us fund our businesses. Like, it's just not happening. So we were bootstrapping and robbing Peter to pay Paul and doing whatever we need to do, working 2 and 3 jobs, saving money to finance our dreams, to finance our businesses. And I think that ultimately that's probably a good thing for the most part, because then we're not, well, we're not in debt as far as like paying these banks back at these high interest rates and things like that. I mean, either way you cut it, I know it's super stressful and you're just not sure if you're if you're even going to be able to finance your dream and get your business off the ground and get the things that you need. But, you know, Black women, we're resourceful, baby. Let me tell you, we will make it work. Okay. Tell me one Black woman that you know of that wasn't able to make it do what it do. I'll wait. Okay. I didn't think so. But all seriousness, you know, all joking aside, like we are resourceful and we will not stop until we get what we came for, excuse me. We're going after our goals, because we ain't trying to be about that 9-to-5 life. Like, I quit my job in September, as you know, and listen, I'm trying my damnedest to, not ever go back into a 9-to-5 situation. Now, will I, if I need to, damn Skippy, I absolutely will. But I am just like, God, I don't feel like I'm cut out for that. Like, I've been there, I've done that over 20 years, and a 9-to-5 environment is just like, it just ain't for me. And they were even saying that, you know, when you're in that type of environment, it's like, you have to be on alert and, you know, with the code switching and looking over your shoulder and making sure you act a certain way and say a certain thing and do a certain thing. It's like, these jobs are stressful as hell. Okay. Maybe it's just me, but these jobs where we got to jump through all these damn hoops is stressful as hell. And a lot of times we tend to neglect, you know, our self-care. So that was something that they talked about too. But it's not that and this is not to say that being in business for yourself or being a creative ain't hard, because it is a lot of times. But it's just different. You know, it's different when it's yours. And if you are in a place where you're trying to build a nine to five, you're in a place where you're trying to build a business or, you know, whatever it is you're trying to do, and you're still a 9-to-5, you know, do the best you can. Work the hell out of that 9-to-5, stack your coins, fund that business. You know what I'm saying? So you can get it launched, so you can get it started. It may take you a year, may take you 2 years, it may take you 5 years. But if you want it, you can go get it. You can have it. It's yours. Something else they talked about. Oh, racial bias. And they were saying, which we already knew, that studies, you know, had proven that we don't get the same level of care as like our counterparts, or like white patients, I should say. Like, we don't get that level of care. I remember when I was in the hospital, my nurse was Black. Okay. My nurse was Black. I don't think she was from the US. I'm not sure what part of Africa she was from, but she wasn't from the US, like born and raised. I could tell that. But even she was just like telling me that I was just doing the most because I was in pain. Now, I don't know where she got that from. And I don't even honestly feel, I mean, I was in labor. Okay. It was a baby come out of my vagina and it hurt. So, you know, I don't know what she wanted me to do. I guess to lie still and just pretend that I was not in pain. I honestly, I don't know. I'm not sure where she got that from, but it's like Black women, just as a whole, we're just supposed to have this quiet strength. And I guess apparently we don't feel pain the same way that other people feel pain. You know, if someone cuts off a white person's finger, they're going to scream and cry and yell and pass out and bleed. But I guess using that same example, if someone cuts a black person's finger off, we're just supposed to be like, okay, yeah, that's cool, bro, that hurt, but I'm gonna go ahead and get back to work because I got bills to pay. Like, black people are not allowed to feel pain, and we are not, you know, allowed to just have the same type of experience that other people are allowed to have. Like, I guess because we're black, people think, you know, we're fine. It's not bad, you know, oh, they'll be okay. Or when we tell them something is painful, it's like it's downplayed, or we don't know what we're talking about, right? Or we can handle it because, you know, like I said before, we're strong, hardy people, et cetera, et cetera. I'm sick of that. I'm sorry. I'm just tired of that. I'm so tired of that. I actually, was it today or was it yesterday? My days are kind of melding one into another, but, what the heck was it? It was like, oh shoot, I lost my train of thought. If I remember, I'll come back to it. It had something to do with Aunt Jemima, but I can't remember what it was. And just how black women are treated. Oh, well, you know, the whole like slave days, we were just supposed to smile and love it because we weren't human, and we're still not wholly seen as human. You know what I mean? Black women were whipped and raped and abused and damn near dragged to death and other things. And we're supposed to just put a smile on our face and act like, you know, we were living our best life. So yeah, and that's just carrying over from year to year. It's just carrying over. Like, it's just that racial bias is just, it's still with us. It's still prevalent. It's still an aggression. And for anyone that says that's not true, they don't know what the hell they're talking about, or they do know what they're talking about and they just want to pretend that they don't see it. The last thing that I gleaned from the She Did That doc on Netflix was that if it's hard, if you don't have a strong support system of like friends and family and community and sisterhood, like, it's just, can you do it by yourself? Of course you can. I think you can, but it's going to be so much harder. So much harder. You don't have like that strong sense of community and family and sisterhood. And I think that when we put our resources together and support like-minded women, it helps all of us. That's what they were talking about. It helps all of us. And I think I mentioned that just before, like, when you start a business, you're able to, or when you buy from like a black woman, you're helping to feed her family. You're helping, excuse me, her kids, you know, go see the doctor. You're helping them have lunch for the week. You're helping them get that college fund set up. You're helping to keep the lights on. You're helping to keep a roof over their head. Like, you're just, you're helping. When you buy from a black woman-owned business, you are helping. So it's like, be sure to, like, if you're not supporting black-owned businesses, maybe check out a few and support. Or if you are doing so already, continue to do so, because I can guarantee you that the person or the business that you're buying from, man oh man, whenever they get an order, it just, I'm assuming it makes their day, because I know it does for me. It makes their day. And if you don't have a strong support system, because I know a lot of us don't, but if you don't have a strong support system, I would say, sis, join one or create one. There is nothing stopping you from creating a community of like-minded women that you guys can, like, uplift each other and support each other and band together and do things together and just rise together. You know what I'm saying? 'Cause that's what it's all about. And there's a ton of groups on Facebook. One that instantly comes to mind is it Girl Trek? I think it's called Girl Trek. And they're doing some amazing things at Girl Trek. If I'm not mistaken, that's the name. But there's a lot of groups, or there's a lot of online resources and communities and things like that. You can find community for pretty much anything these days. From plants, like if you like plants or clean living, or if you're like a little nerdy, or you like cosplay, or things like that. Like, there's communities. If you look online, you will find a sisterhood. You will find a community that you will fit into, and they will support you, because that's what we do. That's what we do. So yeah, again, those are my takeaways from She Did That, the documentary on Netflix. I really enjoyed it. I'm so glad that they interviewed the women that they interviewed. I'm so glad that they produced this amazing piece of work. I really, really hope that they do another one with other Black women entrepreneurs. That would be so dope. Like, if it was like a series, I mean, I don't know if they could do like a limited edition series or something. I would watch every episode. I would, because when I tell you, I just felt so inspired after I watched that. I felt like I could keep going. I felt like I didn't have to give up. I felt like I was being supported, and it wasn't nobody in the house but me sitting on the couch. But I just felt represented, and that's what we need more of. There's already enough negative stuff going on in the world. We need more of that good stuff that's going to just keep elevating us. So yeah. So those are my takeaways from the documentary. And I hope you get a chance to check it out. It is, again, on Netflix. And I think that's it for this episode. I want to thank you so much for listening. If you'd like to reach me, you can email me at connect@browngirlselfcare.com. That's connect@browngirlselfcare.com. And by the way, if you like this episode and you just enjoy the Brown Girl Self-Care podcast just in general, please, pretty please, with a cherry on top, make sure to leave a 5-star rating and review on iTunes, if that is the platform you are listening to this podcast on. So that's it for this week's episode. Thanks so much for listening. I will see you next Monday with another episode of the Brown Girl Self-Care Podcast. Have an amazing week.